We'll just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, just the end of the chapter. 1 Corinthians 9, just notice what it says at verse 23, "And I do this, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker with you." Now, look at these next three verses, and we'll think of 3 points from them just very quickly. Verse 24, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain." So he said, this is this first part of the expression of the sentence there up to the question mark. That is just, this is what happens in the games, in the Olympic games or the games of the day. He says, don't you know? Well, he uses that expression often, but he says that they which run in a race run all, but one receives a prize. He said, now you run that you might receive the prize. So now verse 25, "And everyone that striveth for the masteries is temperate or self-controlled in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." So again, you have the they and you have the we. So notice those things, because we're learning something from just the games, the normal things around us, the athletes of the day. So there's they and there's we. Now he says, verse 26, "So I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." So just three verses, and I want to think of three things that we can learn in our Christian pathway. Of course, in the verse previous, we find out, Paul says, one of the reasons he is so radical, you might say, in his life for God is because he wants to share the blessings of the gospel. He wants to be able to preach to others and then sit down and to be able to enjoy together the blessings of the gospel. Now, that's a wonderful thing. We heard about being commended from with him and Barnabas. And think of what it was like for him to come back as he comes back and revisits, and there's souls that were saved, and he gets to sit down and break bread with them and to enjoy spiritual blessings in Christ, the blessings of the gospel that he can share. Well, that must have been a wonderful thing, but it kind of gives us the idea why Paul was so radical in his life for God. You know, we're not very radical. I'm not very radical sometimes. But it would be, I could use a little bit of that. And he's learning from the athletes of the day. So we'll learn these three things from athletes. He says, first of all, he says, there is the intensity of the effort. He says, when it comes to a regular foot race, he says, everybody is running their hearts out. They're running like crazy. They've got one goal in mind and they're going for it. Why? Because they know only one's going to win the race. So you would never hardly see someone, if there was a cross-country race or if there was a half marathon being run from Summerside to Kensington, you would probably hardly see a lemonade stand or an ice cream truck along the side, because there's no sense offering, well, it might work for me, but there's no sense in offering those runners an ice cream when they're running. Or even lemonade. They want water, and they've got one thing in mind. I'm giving it everything I got, because at the end of the day, there's only one that's walking away with the prize. Now he says, learn from that. He says, because it, regardless of how they run, only one can win in secular races. But he says, in the race for God, everybody will receive a prize. And what matters then is the intensity of the effort. What matters is how I run. So just a very simple, basic point that I can learn. We've all seen athletes and they're going like crazy. You ever try to just say, now, how about buying some property? You like that piece of field over there? He's going to run right by you. Why? Because he wants to win. Well, that's how we should be as Christians, I suppose. We should learn from the intensity of the effort, and we would run, because all can obtain a prize. But it's all on how we run. It's not a competition with others then. But we're running so that we can receive the prize if the judge counts my effort acceptable. See, that's what's different with the secular race and the spiritual race. So run, he says, so run that you may obtain the intensity of the effort. But in the second point I want to think about is the incorruptibility of the reward. He says they're going to all that effort. Why? Well, you know what they would get? They didn't get a gold cup or a gold around their neck or whatever, but they got a wreath of laurels, and they would, just flowers. You imagine how long that would last. Oh, wasn't it glorious? They would put it, the judge would place it on their head, and they would have this wreath of laurels. And it was an amazing thing to win, and with the applause of others. But he says, they do all that. They go to all this effort, he says. They strive for the mastery. And they actually deny themselves. We were hearing about praying and fasting. And fasting and praying. He says, in verse 25, he says, everyone striveth for the masteries and is temperate in all things. That is, they are self-disciplined. You know an athlete before a race, what's he trying to do? Or a boxer. They're trying to control their weight. Everything that they take in is weighed up against how it will affect me in the race. The different substances they take in, the food they eat, how much they train. They deny themselves pleasure. You will hardly see, well, I used to run sometimes in cross country back in high school, and of course I didn't bother training, I just would run. But there was another fella, and I would just win, do it for the fun of it. I didn't do it for winning. But there was somebody that could, we all remember, most of us, Kenny Shaw. Long and lanky. He'd be smoking like a chimney in high school and all the rest of it. And he would just be so casual and lackadaisical, and he would go to the provincials and he'd win it all. He was just that way, but not many that way. But athletes generally train and deny themselves, all with the view to winning. Everything they take in, it's all a matter of self-discipline and exercise and training and denial, because they want to win. They strive for the masteries. Why? He says, for a crown that's just going to wither. And they'll wonder, was it worth it all? They look at that old withered up wreath and think, I did all that for that? But he says, not us. We're doing it not for a corruptible crown, but an incorruptible crown. You know, we'll never look at it and say in the future day, if we give it everything as far as effort, and if we deny ourselves as far as self-discipline, we will never look at it and say, the things I have suffered here don't add up to equal to that. We'll always think, that is so much better than what I ever could have imagined it. All the sufferings, all the trial, all the self-denial, all the things I gave up, all the things that I lost. The crown is incorruptible. It can never be taken away. It will never wither. And there's one thing we will say in that day, it was definitely worth it. But we can't see that now. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says that it's that weight of glory, that weight of glory. There's going to be something so substantial that the master is going to give, and he's watching how we run, how we labor, what we're willing to go through for him. And we're going to look at it, and he says, we're going to wonder in that day, why did he give me so much when what I suffered and my efforts were so small? That's how we look at it then, but we don't look at it now. But he says, try to get that view. It will help us. So the intensity of the effort, number one. Secondly, the incorruptibility of the reward. And third, the third point in verse 26, the invariability of purpose. Because he says, I don't do it uncertainly, with uncertainty. He says, I do with a clear purpose in mind, a clear goal. So now he switches from the runner to the boxer. Now, did you ever see a boxer? Have you ever watched a boxing match? Did you ever see a boxer just kind of sitting there with his hands down? You know, I mean the really serious type, you know, just kind of, whatever. I'll throw a punch sometime. Or the guy's coming in and the punch is coming. He's saying, well, I guess it'll hurt. And he doesn't dodge? No. In boxing, timing is everything. So he said, learn from the boxer and capitalize on time. And it's embarrassing to hear me say that, because I don't capitalize on time the way I should. But a boxer does. And so Paul says, be like the boxer. Don't be uncertainly boxing the air. These are real punches that are coming my way. I need to capitalize on time and watch and see that my effort and expenditure is exactly with the best timing to get the most effect. That's in boxing. But translate that into spiritual things. I need to watch my time and not just be going everywhere with like a chicken with my head cut off as a Christian. But rather, I should be capitalizing on time and saying, well, this is the best time to do this. So I might have to set something else aside and go now. Wonderful to go to a conference, but they don't usually have them on Wednesday. So sometimes I might have to set something aside on a Friday and a Saturday so I can be there for the conference. And maybe something else can be rearranged for a Wednesday or a Thursday. So timing all comes into it. With a boxer, timing is everything. The most effort, but less effort will do when the timing's right. So timing is everything. So he says, learn from that spiritually. Nextly, he says, remember the limits of our energy. He says, I keep it under subjection. I beat my body black and blue, and there's self-discipline involved. He says, I actually am willing to go through all that I go through, and I'm not fighting uncertainly with just air punches, just shadow boxing, because he said, my energy is limited. There's only so much of me. Now, there's more, obviously, and the effort is increased with the Spirit of God and his help and his work and so on. But he says, I have to remember that I am just a limited individual. There's not limitless energy. There's not limitless strength with me. We have access to that. But he says, I need to remember that, and I can't be wasting energy. So I can't be wasting time, and I can't be wasting energy, beating the air to no effect. So much of what we do, you know, is just beating the air. What do we have when we're done? Nothing. But when we're doing it for God, and timing is important, and energy is being rationed, so to speak, and I recognize the limits of my energy, then he says, there will be something useful. So not wasting my time or my energy. And again, that speaks to me. And then he says, the discipline in our body. So that's really important. The discipline of my body, he says, everything to do with my body is then gauged toward how will it help me in the fight? How will it help me in the race? So we're learning those things. So the intensity of the effort, the incorruptibility of the reward, the invariability of purpose. Now he says, coming back to the incorruptibility of the reward, he says in the next chapter, he said, there were people that ran in a bygone day in the wilderness. And he says, with many of them, God was not well pleased. And you'll notice, that's a subject for another ministry meeting. There's five blessings that come in the next chapter. And there were five areas where they failed. And with many of them, God was not well pleased. So likely the most important thing then as an athlete, as a spiritual athlete, is this. It should be done for the pleasure of the judge. Because Paul says, what if he said, I have preached the gospel to others and I myself am rejected? I don't make the stand. I don't earn the reward. I haven't pleased the judge. So just a solemn thing, but three things to learn from the athletes that we can apply spiritually speaking. And the capping stone of it all is that everything in my life, while Paul says it was so that it could be shared blessings in the gospel, that I might be partakers of those that together of the same blessings of the gospel with those that are saved through the efforts. But he says, that's one reason. But he says, I'm looking forward to the day when I won't be cast away. I won't be rejected by the judge. I'm doing all for the pleasure of the judge. Just like the athletes knows the judges are watching and they hand out the prize at their discretion. So I am working, I am laboring, I am running, I am boxing, knowing that the judge himself is watching. So simple things, maybe they will benefit you and speak to you as they've spoken to my own heart.